We have a couple of really big and breaking stories. Many posts in terms of length, but major in terms of consequence. Candace has been validated by Turning Point's Andrew Colvin. He's the media director, was the producer, many times appeared with Charlie Kirk on the podcast at TPUSA. And he made some stunning statements, stunning. And it's sent Candace into a self-protective mode, and for good reason. And Andrew is not threatening Candace, but the implications of spinoff could be threatening to Candace, at least in her own mind. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We're the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We are brought to you by the NanoSoma liquid spray. You want to get optimum health? This is it. This cures nothing. What it does do is it boosts your immune system to unbelievable levels. It's restorative. It's preventive. It saved my life a year and a half ago. And it's part of a three-product scheme that all you have to do is go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges, and you'll see the starter pack. Three of these. One gel you rub on your joints, inflammation goes away. I've used it. It works. And then the wrinkle cream, which also could be used to treat cuts and burns, and that's effective. You've seen me use it. Those three together are 15% off. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. I'm at a loss at the life that Candace Owens, and her stories about what happened to Charlie and things flying around Charlie and the course that it's taken. Gonna play a clip from what Candace just recently said, and I think it's self-explanatory.
I went ahead this week and sent around a life insurance policy of sorts, a package rather, to people that I trust, a package filled with text messages, emails, private communications, videos, and private legal documents. So if anything happens to me, you guys will know exactly who it is that has been making my life a living hell over the past couple of years. People that are trying to bankrupt me, trying to bankrupt me and my family, that are threatening us to sue us. Everything that Kanye said was so real. Okay. I'm now at that point where you look back and you go, man, Kanye was right. He was really saying something about what it takes to leave, you know, to fight for custody of your own soul. Just leave me alone. Let me say what I believe and you say what you believe. Fight fair. Why do you always have to make this threat to bankrupt people? And I want you to know that those people, if anything happens to me, they have my explicit permission to release it all, detonate it all, expose all of these people in politics and in the movement who behave like this behind the scenes. It's necessary. And I highly recommend every single person that is out there and has a platform and is going through things and is scared, do the same. Send everything around to about eight people that you trust. And I mean, I've arranged it. I sent it to journalists, text messages and screenshots to people ranging from Max Blumenthal to Andrew Tate. They won't know where it's coming from. But I went ahead.
Wow. That's a woman that's scared. And I think for good reason. If that wasn't enough, and people say, oh, Candace is lying. She's making it up. It's clickbait. She's delusional. She's crazy. For releasing the supposed communication 2 days before Charlie's death, in which he says, we're going to have to go in a different direction away from some of the pro-Jewish donors. And he clearly said that. You've seen the receipts from Candace. But people say, she made it up. The man on the screen, and if you're listening to me, I'm showing Andrew Colvin, head of media, producer of the Charlie Kirk Show, frequent guest on the show. He confirms every word Candace was saying. We're going to play this for you right now.
To address some of the things that have been going around on public, namely about a group text chain that has been made known and released by Candace Owens. And I just want to address it head on because, you know, that was a text grab, a screen grab that I had shared with people. So it is authentic. And I want to go into it because I actually am really excited that the truth is out there. To address some of the things that have been going around on public, namely about a group text chain that has been made known and released by Candace Owens. And I just want to address it head on because, you know, that was a text grab, a screen grab that I had shared with people. So it is authentic. And I want to go into it because I actually am really excited that the truth is out there.
Don't need to hear anymore. We don't need to hear anymore. Yeah, Candace showing the receipts yesterday. You got Andrew Colvett doing this today. Now, listen, I don't know what his motive is. Is it damage control because TPUSA is now caught being publicly exposed for going the direction of money away from what Charlie Kirk wanted for his own organization? That clearly happened. Is Andrew's motivation to try to cooperate with legal authorities? In another interview, which I don't need to share, he said, we shared this immediately with the FBI. And he says, we know they're looking at foreign entities as having a possible role in the killing of Charlie Kirk. He said this. He said, we shared this right away. We don't deny it. Candace is right. And all you people out there who attacked Candace in such a manner that she feels she's got to invoke the dead man or kill switch, shame on you. Shame on you for attacking her without substance, without proof, when now from inside Turning Point, from one of their leading people, we're finding out she was telling the truth the entire time. And I could tell she was telling the truth. And I think you can sense it too. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a chance here to get to the bottom of this now. I don't know if Colvett's afraid to get caught up in this as a co-conspirator. I don't know if he's doing damage control, or is he just trying to do the right thing? I'd like to think he was just trying to do the right thing, but I have no idea. What I do know is he just said the FBI has got this information and they are acting on it. And Candace's defensiveness now, it's not paranoia. It's common sense self-protection. This is the breaking story of the day. My name is Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Hello, America. Excuse me, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, where the show freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. We're brought to you by the Nanosoma Liquid Spray. Doesn't cure anything, but yet I'm telling you, it's restorative and preventative. It boosts your immune system to unbelievable levels. 18 months ago, it saved my life. It can do great things for you. Everybody should be on this for maintenance or restorative. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. All right. I am tired of the media, mainstream media, and the brainwashed people from the Fox News crowd that are acting like Netanyahu is as pure as the driven snow. He's not. I support Jewish people. And again, I'll say this. When the persecution of Jewish students was going on in Ivy League schools, I went ballistic. I called for the resignation of these presidents. But I have a right to criticize another government. It has nothing to do with the Bible. The government and the people are two different entities. And the people don't like their government in Israel. And I've had a friend that was run down on a social media site and accused by a member of TPUSA of lying, leaking the transcript that Candace Owens showed 2 days before Charlie's death, where he was talking about abandoning his pro-Israel position. He didn't say pro-Jewish. He said pro-Israel. And Candace named names. And now I've got a friend who's accused of leaking that, which they've told me confidentially. That's absolutely not true. They're grasping at straws at TPUSA. We know what direction they want to take this. We know who they want the donors to be. We know what Charlie didn't want, and it flies in opposition to what he did want. Now, is that prima facie evidence for a violent crime? No, it's not. I'm the first one to admit it. I did an interview with Doug Hagman, and we decided going into the interview, we were going to do point counterpoint. Doug's a private investigator. And we had a really good discussion. Now, Doug and I are old, old friends. We can go on the air and agree to disagree about a topic, and it's never going to carry over because we'll be friends to the end of our days. But we went back and forth with each other, point, counterpoint. He thinks Tyler Robinson's guilty. I think that's a nonsense story. And we went back and forth. Reasonable people can disagree. That interview is on our podcast services. Soon we'll, and it's the only place it's going to run until we put it up on our TV show. We're not running that on social media. And it's not because I'm worried about being censored. There's nothing there that's not out there on social media. I want to give this the special attention it deserves. On October 7th, Hamas crossed the Israeli border and attacked and brutalized. What did they kill? 1,300 people? Kidnapped a bunch, still have some hostages. It was a brutal act. But it took Netanyahu's forces 6 hours to respond. And I raised this question at the time. I said, I'm baffled. I got IDF people going on social media who are retired say we can cover the whole country in 3 minutes. Israel brags about this. Why'd it take them 6 hours? And it's led to a lot of conspiracy theories. Saying that the reaction time was, and by the way, we're correct on the reaction time, but saying that's proof of a conspiracy is stretching the facts. But what would you say if I told you that I was not alone in saying, how did it take so long for them to respond? What if I told you Charlie Kirk was very outspoken about this? Charlie Kirk made it very clear where he stood. We're going to play a minute 30 tape of his interview on this famous show.
All this was taking place. So I've been to Israel many times. The whole country is a fortress. When I first heard this story, I still have the same gut instinct that I did initially. I find this very hard to believe. I've been to that Gaza border. You cannot go 10 feet without running into a 19-year-old with an AR-15 or an automatic machine gun that's an IDF soldier, where the whole country is surveilled. And so let me just kind of go through this. We don't talk about Israeli politics very often, and most Americans don't know this. The last 9 months, Israel is on the brink of civil war. It's not an exaggeration. This judicial stuff.
This was in 2023. Netanyahu got booted once from power. I don't know how he got back in. I don't know how Bennett got exited. I don't know how they brought him back in. I was shocked when he was brought back in. I really was. Now, I think he's errs on the side of not following the rules. But I also thought at that time he might be what Israel needed because they needed a tough hand. And I thought he might be the right man at the right time. I think I was wrong. You're hearing Charlie talk about the unrest that exists within the country. That's known. If you look into Israel, the people do not like Netanyahu. And he's ruling by decree. He's violating their constitution. And they would like to see him gone. And you're hearing Charlie say this. I'm telling you, he's correct in this assertion.
There were hundreds of thousands of Israelis taken to the streets because Bibi Netanyahu was basically redefining the Israeli constitution. That's not an exaggeration, right? He said the judicial branch has too much power. There were protests planned this week against Netanyahu where they anticipated tens of thousands of people to take to the streets. That's all gone, Patrick. Netanyahu now has an emergency government and a mandate to leave. I'm not willing to say to go so far that saying that Netanyahu knew or there was intelligence here, but I think some questions need to be asked.
You see, that's the position I took when this event took place 2 years ago, yesterday. I took that same position. I said, there's a lot of unanswered questions here, and I got IDF personnel going social media who are retired coming out, and they raised the same questions. And I said, what is going on here? So we can safely say that Charlie had serious problems with the Netanyahu administration, not with Jewish people. And no one better try to paint him as an anti-Semitic. He's not, or I should say he wasn't. A little bit more.
Was there a stand-down order? Was there a stand-down order? 6 hours? I don't believe it. Israel's decided to decide New Jersey. When I took a helicopter ride from Jerusalem to the Gaza border, it's 45 minutes. 6 hours. They're live streaming the killing of Jews. Did somebody in the government say stand down? That is a legitimate non-conspiracy question.
And it's a question. And it's a mystery. But people who say that Charlie was totally on the side of Netanyahu, you're missing the point. I can't say what happened to Charlie for sure. I know the story we're being given about what happened at Utah Valley University. I know that's a load of crap. Excuse me. There's more holes in this than Swiss cheese. And Charlie is not on Netanyahu's side. Was he really going to break with Israel? Well, Candace Owens releasing those communications would say yes. Today, the media lambasted her. What would the media say about this interview on the PBD show? What would they say? He's very, very clear. He doesn't trust Netanyahu, doesn't believe in him. But also, I have other tapes where he said, I believe in the Israeli people. What do you make of this? I think this needs to be put out there in the public eye and not buried from an interview that was almost 2 years old. Am I making too much of this? Well, I said the same things when this happened. And I was horrified. And I wanted Israel to take revenge. Did I want Israel to go that as far as they did? No, I didn't. And you notice Trump is taking a strong hand with Netanyahu today. Stop bombing. We're accepting the peace plan. That's his command to Netanyahu. What a mess we have in the Middle East. The Charlie mystery just keeps getting deeper and deeper. And I want to say this to Boyer, okay? Listen to me carefully. The person that you ran down on social media and accused of leaking those transcripts that Candace got a hold of, she didn't get it from that person. You need to stop casting aspersions where none belong. And if that wasn't a real conversation at the Washington Post, the New York Times, Newsweek is all saying, oh, Candace is making it all up. She's full of crap. She's doing clickbait. This is what I'm reading. They can't even get the facts correct on where she got the info. Candace, I want to say this to you. I don't know if you got it from a clandestine source you can't identify. And I get that. We all have those kinds of sources. But if you did not, would you please squelch this by putting out, this is who gave it to me. This is my confidence in this and why. Because Candace, I know for a fact you're not making this up. And I know you didn't get it from a friend of mine. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. I'm sick of the deception. I want truth and honesty. I had a young person ask me today, what do we got to do to clean up government? We can do nothing about Netanyahu except not support some of the things he's done and withhold monetary support when he does. But I said, from an American perspective, I said, we need term limits. We don't need 90-year-olds in the Senate and Congress. We don't need people in office for 40 and 50 years. The founding fathers were quite clear. They thought about two terms and you're out, come back. And Washington set the tone. Now we have these career politicians that go to Washington to cash in. No wonder your approval rating is 9% in Congress. That, to me, is the biggest thing we can do, is impose term limits and make them go get the same kind of health insurance that you and I have to get, and don't give them a lifetime pension. Plain and simple. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Hello, America, and our friends around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, make sure you sign up for our newsletter, thecommonsenseshow.com, and click on the newsletter link, put in your email, and you'll get a recapitulation of everything we've done the last 24 hours. People love it, love it, love it. And you're saying, why would I do that? Because you'll save time and it's free, and over 50,000 people are doing it. You should too. We're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios, and you know my choice. I don't trust the banks. When I make a profit on a deal, it's going gold, silver, Bitcoin. And then the gold company I use is Noble Gold. Find out more because they can save what's in the bank because the banks want to keep it and they're moving in that direction. 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. Tell them Dave Hodges told you to call. Our guest is Sam Anthony, and he has an organization called Your News. And because of the way certain algorithms are working in the social media, many of you have never heard me talk about this. And I want you to know before we start, full disclosure, I participate in this and I am an investor in this. And when we're done with this interview, you're going to be so excited to know that we're watching a postmortem on mainstream media. And also, you're going to have a chance to be a participant in your own neighborhood or even national if you want, in being a news reporter. And you, like me, can become an investor. And I'll tell you, the profits down the road in not too distant future could be absolutely fantastic. Anyway, Sam Anthony, it's good to have you back on, my friend. We are speaking to a new audience because my old audience doesn't get a lot of the notifications of what I've done. Now, if we go to podcast, that's a different story. And so what I wanted to do was to have you kind of bring us up to date of your concept on your news, what you're trying to accomplish. Let's do a quick postmortem on the mainstream media, and then we'll tell people what they can expect to see when they go there and how they can take advantage of it.
Okay, you got it. Well, Dave, thanks for having me on the show.
It's great to have you back.
Good to see you. It's early in the morning for you. It's a little later for me, but you certainly get up bright and early. So, you know, for the audiences that haven't heard this, yournews.com is an online daily. We're a hyper-local news content distribution platform. Right. Basically, it looks like any news website, but I'm in every city in the United States. Now, an interesting tidbit, I think I may have told you yesterday, Dave, we all watch the clips from the legacy media and, you know, what they're, you know, some of the questions they ask, some of the stuff they're spewing out of their mouth, and we're all disgusted with it. So I did a search on Google for viewership for mainstream media for news daily. How many people are watching network television news on a daily basis? And the number is about 2.5 million people. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, Dave, is you and I are about the same age. You remember when the mainstream media television news reached at least 50% of the population, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, you know, something happened. You run to the television to see what it was because somebody's talking about it. Today, it's under 1%. It's horrific. So it's just a matter of time. I mean, I'm just blown away that they're even still in business. The only reason I think they are is because they have the pharmaceutical ads and, you know, they're propped up by billionaires, which are trying to keep this stuff afloat to push propaganda, but it's never going to survive. What's going to replace it is what I do, which is a hyper-local news platform that can distribute content to a city, a county, a market, state, regional, or national that allows for complete free speech and puts the power of the press back in the hands of the people where it belongs. And that's mm-hmm. what we do.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a unique concept. I like to call it news from the zip code to the international. Mm-hmm. And because I noticed that you have gone international. But you got an interesting marketing idea and an interesting way to assess value. You can gauge the relative worth of a social media site by the number of content creators. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, that's the only way you value them. So a platform is a platform, right? So the platform should, you know, work like a platform should. They should have all the bells and whistles. So the example would be if I were to give you X's or Facebook's platform, you know, maybe Zuckerberg sent me the file, says, give this to Dave Hodges. If I gave that to you, Dave, it's worthless without the user base. It's the user base that makes them valuable, not the tech is the tech. I mean, you got to have it. But without the user base, you're not going to sell a single thing. So it's the user base. So it's really simple to determine the value of a digital property that's a social media site. It's all based on their user base. And the way you do it is you take the market cap of the company and you divide the content creators into the market cap. An example would be if a company has a market cap of $1 million and there's 1 million users, everybody's worth a dollar. So social media sites like X or True Social or Facebook, their user base is worth less than $100. And the reason is everybody can have a Facebook page or an X page or a True Social page. There's nobody that does what I do. But news is either audio, video, or print, right? So you could watch cable news, you could listen to a radio on the dial, or you could read a newspaper. So it doesn't really matter. News is news. there's far less people reporting news than there are consuming it. So there's less of them. That's why Facebook has 2 billion users and YouTube has 51 million. There's a difference. So the value of those users is, again, the market cap and the user base. The easiest one to do is Rumble. Rumble has a just under a $3 billion market cap. So if it's actually, I think, I think it's 2.7 right now, but just make it 3 billion, and they have 250,000 channels, they call them. So there's 250,000 people like you on that platform. So if you divide 250 into 3 billion, it's $12,000 per user.
Got it. Same with
YouTube. Yeah. So now you have
What are YouTube's numbers? Just out of curiosity.
They have 51 million content creators. It's part of Alphabet. So Alphabet is a $2.4 trillion market cap recently. Wow. Yeah. So remember, it's 160 companies that make up the market cap. So if you only want YouTube's, they just did an audit. They're worth $550 billion. So if you take the 50 million into the 550 billion, it's 11,000 per user. So, and it's about the same for Rumble. It makes sense because more people are consuming news than there are reporting the news. So they have to have a higher value. Joe Rogan, which is obviously worth more than 12 grand, if he were to remove him from YouTube, you're not going to dent their traffic because there's 50 million people.
It's just amazing. They are like, they're so monumental. They don't have to even consider Fox and CNN as competition. It's like they're riding on a bike and they're driving by an anthill. It's inconsequential to them what the mainstream media is doing.
First of all, the legacy media, radio, TV, and print's all going away of the dinosaur. They're just propped up for now, but eventually it's not going to be there. And the demographics, the age demographic between 25 and 54, you could look it up. I'm not making this up. It came out first quarter. There was a total of about 500,000 people over 90 days, not daily, over 90 days that tuned into mainstream media.
Wow.
There's your
wait a
problem.
Wait a minute. I want to make sure I get this. From 25 to 54, the prime working years, okay, you've got 500,000 of this population tuning in over how long a period?
The first quarter, 3 months.
Megyn
Kelly just said it like 3 weeks ago.
Oh my gosh. That's not even 200,000 a month.
No, it's not.
That's amazing.
It's over. Yeah, they have the older generation.
You know? I'm kicking their butt in three venues.
Give them 24 to 36 months. All that stuff's going to be gone because the average age of cable news viewers is 72 years old. So it's just a matter of time.
Oh, Jesse Waters will be saying at the end of his show, "I'm Waters, and I'm looking to tread water."
It's just the way people consume information, Dave. I mean, it's all going to digital and streaming, you know? So it's not a secret. Everybody knows it. This is why, you know, there's certain podcasters like Joe Rogan who's bigger than every single network combined in a day. Give me a break. The guy's got 11 million viewers an episode. Mainstream media has 2.5.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so that's all. So, look, what I do is inevitable. Okay, it's going to happen whether you like it or not. I mean, this is just the way of the world. The cool part is, YouTube, you don't have to go to broadcast journalism school. Dave, you didn't go to broadcast journalism school, but yet you're a broadcaster on Rumble, YouTube, right? Then you have a podcast on, what are you on? You're on different radio type shows, right?
Streaming. Well, we're on two radio networks and their affiliates, and we're also on all the podcast services. And the podcast services where we make our hay. We're blessed. We're in the upper 0.5% of 3.6 million podcasts that are measured.
Yeah, there you go. So, but you didn't go to broadcast journalism school.
No, I went to the School of Hard Knocks, where corrupt politicians tried to steal my property, that of 300 of my rural neighbors, and that propelled me into this business. So that's I did go to school, the School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, I've been there before. But yeah, so it was personal to you. You got into it. Now this is what you do. And so, you know, it's the same with me. Like, YouTube has created a place where anybody can be a broadcaster and the cream rises to the top. All I've done is created a platform where anybody can be a news reporter and the cream will rise to the top. And what is news reporting? If you're somebody that's proactive in the community that goes to the city council meeting, high school football games, and you decide you want to report on it, all you do is take notes, come back, create a story. If you're not a great writer, you run it through AI till you get what you like, and you share that with the local community. We publish it and you share it, and now you're a news reporter. That's a news reporter.
Wow. The numbers are just mind-boggling. They truly are. Why do you think YouTube and then Upstart Rumble are so successful?
Well, YouTube provides a platform that allows people to broadcast and to make money, right? It's a job, is
That's
what it
true.
is. I mean, but you're an entrepreneur, and just like YouTube, YouTube has a community of people. Rumble has a community of people. All these networks have communities of people, so other people can find you that are looking around. But it's up to you to build your own brand. Dave Hodges, is the brand, correct? So
Probably.
you don't work for a network. You're your own individual. You use platforms for what? Distribution and monetization. That's it. So the future of news reporting, local news reporting, everybody's going to be their own individual brand. They're going to leverage our platform for distribution and monetization. The scale is for your audience. We're in every city in the United States, so we could publish to a city, a county, a market, state, regional, or national. So you could target ads right around one zip code, and the content creator gets a percentage of the ad revenue that appears around their story. So for news reporting, it's going to be all about your social media following and the content that you put out. They go hand in hand.
Wow. Yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal what's going on. I'm finding too, as and I'm going to have to touch on this topic. I live in a rural community with encroachment coming, and we're battling BNSF Railroad. They want to put a multimodal storage facility complete with toxic chemicals and a horrible history of safety records. And it's going to be 800 yards from an elementary school. And it's going to endanger a lot of citizens too. And it's going to increase the traffic too. I mean, it's just crazy. This is a local story. I do national, international news, but I have to jump into this for the preservation of my community. And what the point I'm making here is I'm finding an increasing need to take local, link it to national, and national, bring it back to local so people can see how things affect them. Your platform does that by design.
Dave, this is a perfect example. So you can't rely on the media to be able to get the job done. It's not the same anymore. Back in the 80s, there were 500 independent news outlets. Today, there's six.
Yeah.
Everybody saw the video of Sinclair Broadcasting with those 50 TVs saying the same things at the same time. All of it is orchestrated, right? Even
That's right.
all those local markets. So they will tell you what's important to you, but you have something that's actually really important. So this is where citizen journalism comes in, because Dave, you have an account with us. You can actually write a news story, and we could publish that content in the local market where you live, which would probably be, the whole Maricopa County market,
That's
correct?
coming this weekend. We've had some victories. Now, because I fought my property rights battle, I know some players. I know some players quite well. And I think I've been successful in turning the key. But BNSF Railroad was going to run right over us and endanger our entire community. And they could have cared less. Now we've got an entire nearby city that says we're against this. And they passed a resolution last night, universally declaring they're opposed to it. Now the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors have, and I've been on two of them like white on rice, they now have tabled the issue three times. We're going to beat these people. And this is a lesson to the rest of the country. This is where this story becomes national. My property rights victory over John McCain and his forces showed that the average people can be successful if they just get organized. And this event is pretty much the same thing. And I think it serves as a lesson to the rest of the country. So although it has local appeal, I think the lesson has national appeal because it promotes involvement in getting results.
100%, right? Yeah. So it's really going to be up to the people to report the news in the future. But
I
those
agree.
people, you've got 500,000 people on LinkedIn that are now calling themselves freelance journalists. They're all the news people that were part of the downsizing of the legacy media. You got 200,000 kids that came out of school from journalism school last year can't get jobs.
Yeah.
Can't get them. Nobody's hiring. Nobody. So, you know, and, they, you know, we've picked up almost just under 5,300 news reporters in the last year. Think about that. Right. Okay. So I have over 5,000 people reporting news and growing. And by the way, there's 20,000 cities. So that's not even one person a city. That's the point. It's massive in scope. So this is why we're doing this. We fill a void. When YouTube kicked off you and everybody else, Rumble was there to fill that void. Remember?
Yeah. Well, okay. To YouTube's credit, they've reversed their handling of accounts. We haven't really had any difficulty since that. And they told me too. I want to be fair here. YouTube told my representative it was a mistake and we're sorry. But I hear what you're saying. Where one entity is closed to people, something else will spring up in result. But I look
That's
at
right.
it like this, okay? One thing that Fox News does well, and I am not a Fox News fan. I call them the controlled opposition. But one thing they do well is they take MSNBC, CNBC, CNN, and they show all the talking points when they parrot each other. They'll go like 10 quotes in a row from different venues, all saying the same political stance with the same slogans. And it shows that they're organized at the highest level to produce content that's universal to promote a message. And people reject that kind of messaging because it's not authentic. And this is why I think the legacy media is failing. Plus, the younger generation is tied to digital. They're moving away from cable news, even if it wasn't biased.
Correct. Right. So we live in a world that has centralized news, which only a handful of people control. So at the end of the day, what you really want, just like with your currencies, if you're a Bitcoin buyer, you do it because it's decentralized currency. We completely decentralize the news business and we democratize who gets to say it.
That's true. But okay, yeah. So anyone can sign up to be a reporter and it can just be your niche. It could be knitting in Tallahassee and you can promote that and gather like-minded people. But there's another opportunity, too, besides citizen journalism, and that's something I've taken advantage of. It's called becoming an investor. Can you talk about the dynamics of that?
Yes. When we did this, normally, you know, private companies, so we're doing what's called a private placement, you can only sell to accredited investors, and primarily it's the institutions that like these kind of things because they're the ones that have all the money. Right. Well, to me, going to the institutions was basically creating the same problem we have now with six institutions controlling the legacy media. So we decided that if we're going to be truly a people powered press and put the power of the press in the hands of the people should own the product, not the institution. So what we did was we created something called an equity crowd fund. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's not like GiveSendGo or GoFundMe where it's just donations. This is an actual security. You're buying stock. It's done through a broker dealer. It took 8 months to set this up. I probably spent 50 grand to do it. Audits, background checks, the whole nine yards. Because if something were to go wrong, then the brokerage firm is responsible. They're liable. So they have to do their due diligence. So once that was set up, we did it something called an equity crowd fund. Now the public can participate. And they could go in and read what we're doing, watch a video. If they like what they see, they can make an investment for as little as $200 and all the way on up. It doesn't really matter. So this is how we're raising capital with this. We're not inviting institutional players. It's strictly we the people that are buying this. Those are the ones. And by the way, Angel Studios does the same thing, Dave, right? All their movies are funded through the people.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, you know, so normally Hollywood, you know, they spend money investing in these things. Angel Studios goes through equity crowd funds and they raise all the capital for each individual movie through equity crowd funds.
Well, that is really, really interesting to me. I'm going to pull something up here
sure. On
screen. Although if you're hearing this on podcast, you're not going to be able to see it, but I'll describe it for you here. This is really interesting to me. This is the Your News site. And you can see they have a border wall issue here. They have stories about Clinton and so forth. Okay. And where do they list me at? There you go. There's my hometown right there, Whitman, Arizona. It's more of a hamlet. It's kind of a mythical name. It's not an incorporated city, but it's a general area in North Maricopa County, north of metropolitan Phoenix. And so I have my local here. And then you scroll down, though, you not just have your local stories, you have national stories. And let me scroll down here to the bottom. This is where you can sign up. You create
Oh,
your login.
no, be you talking about for be a citizen journalist?
Yeah, right here. This is where you go right here. It says your login, advertise, be a citizen journalist.
Right.
Okay. I'm hoping you can see this.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, so if you want to click be a citizen journalist, if somebody wanted to sign up to be a news reporter locally and get paid for it, you scroll down a little bit and there's an application. They just fill that application out.
There you go. Yeah.
And
And
yours is already, your email's
it pulled
already in
me up.
there.
It pulled me up automatically. Okay.
Yes, because it
Yeah, my
because you
email's
filled it out.
public. I mean, I get stuff on my email from everywhere and anywhere, so I'm not too worried about that. That's my public email. And there's Sam right there. But this is really cool. Let me go back here. It gives you a story about how to become a citizen journalist and blah, blah, blah. Okay, how to monetize. So they give you the whole nine yards here on how to do this, but before, whoops, I lost it. I lost the feed. Anyway, at the bottom of the page where I had that, there's a place to sign up to become an investor. And talk about that process just for a second. And
Sure.
what kind of money do you need to get into this?
It could be $200 minimum. So that the minimum investment is $200. So everybody can participate. What I want is distribution of the product, right? I want people to own shares in this company. So we made it very inexpensive so everybody can participate. So the way you do it is you click invest and it'll take you to a page called it's Issuance Express is the name of the equity crowdfund company, but our page on Issuance Express. And the company name, the holding company, like News Corp owns Fox News and 20 or 30 other companies. Ours is called Nikko Ventures. Nikko Ventures owns your news. And there's a reason why we did this. But if you want to click invest, it'll, if you go to your right a little bit, yeah, right there. You come here and it shows you how much capital has been raised on the right-hand side. It says 387, 780, I think it is. And if you scroll down a little bit, there's information. This is our investment deck is what they call it.
Yes.
And if you scroll down a little further, there's an actual video somebody can watch, which kind of explains what we're doing. And then once you consume all this, if you like the messaging and what we're doing, all you do is click invest now, and then you have to create an account on Issuance Express and you can buy shares in the company. You have to fill out a subscription agreement. And you know, put in you either use a credit card or something called ACH, which is like a check, a digital check,
Yeah.
and you can make an investment in the company, and that is what's fueling this company. So we're doing a round right now, and the valuation on this round is a $20 million valuation. We're doing a $1.2 million raise. We've done basically a third of it, and then we're going to start another one afterwards, but that one's going to be much higher, at least 5 times higher.
Yeah, and so let me talk about that distinction. Certainly nothing is ever guaranteed. But if you come into this first phase that you're talking about and you become an investor, when the next phase opens at a much higher amount, that means the value of your investment goes up proportionally.
Yeah, so in this case, the number I've got in my head, remember you asked me what is a content creator worth? So news content creators are worth it between 10 and 12,000. We have 50, almost 5,300 of them, Dave. So just 5,000 times 12,000 is 60 million. So we have a much higher value. I'm going to get that to the game plan is I'm 10% there. I want to get in the next 24 months to around 50,000. And there's no shortage of people. They have nowhere to go. So it's just a function of marketing. So this whole thing is kind of simple because my market, there's a void. They have nowhere to go. The next phase of news reporting is going to be just like YouTube, where it's the content creators are going to create accounts, they're going to start submitting their work, and they're going to share it on social media, and people are either going to like their stuff or not. Somebody said to me, well, you know, do you fact check everything? No, I don't have to. Because if somebody lies, the public lets us know like that, and then we get rid of them. So this is really truly censorship free. I want both sides to be able to have a voice and both sides to be heard and let the public decide. But the cool part about this, Dave, is very broad in scope. This is not just about politics. We have news reporters that do high school football. We have news reporters that do movie reviews, theater critics. They do, you know, they go to restaurants and do restaurant reviews, faith-based content, travel news, world news. I have people all over the world that are reporting world news, things happening in other countries. And all these people, like on LinkedIn Navigator, if you type in freelance journalist, just in general, on LinkedIn, you know, there's over 2 million people that are looking for work. 2 million, 500,000 in the United States. They have nowhere to go. So ultimately, this will become the next mainstream media. If it's if I shut the, 100%. So,
I totally, absolutely 100% agree. For these out of work journalists, not all of them, but for some of them, the money will follow as the money continues to leave mainstream media and come to this site here. This is why being a journalist can end up being profitable. I think there's a lag right now, probably, from what people are making to what they're going to make.
Oh, God, yes. So you have to build something, right? I mean, I don't have the money that Facebook got and that YouTube got, but everything's going to digital. So what's going to you can't just build a website called the Chicago Tribune or Arizona Central and think you're going to make money. You need a platform where millions of people can participate, which drives hundreds of, this is where it all is. So with me, because we localize content, I can make news appear in all different locales. You know, somebody's Little League game is not national news. It's sports news for that city. But Dave, you will get at least 20 people coming to read that article. All that content coming in gets distributed back out. You get people consuming all that information, but we can organize it right down to the city level if need be.
It's really, I love that concept from the zip code to international. It's absolutely fantastic concept. And so where do people go to get started with being a creator as well as an investor?
You go to yournews.com, scroll down to the bottom of the page. You'll see Become a Citizen Journalist. You click that. There's a couple of short videos you watch. If you want to participate, you fill out an application down below. And then once you get set up, you get an email with instructions on how to use your dashboard and how to, you know, get monetized off of it. The second piece is from the investment standpoint, right down there on Your News at the bottom, it says invest, read about what we're doing. I'm looking for not only small investors, I'm looking for bigger investors. Okay, this round of funding I will complete. Then we're going to start a much bigger one. This round gets us to the point where we'll probably get around 20,000-25,000 content creators. But simultaneously, we're going to start another one and we're going to start scaling that one and bring in investment capital from that one within 30 days. Because once you're on the platform, and you did all the work. The next step is I could just change the valuation and I could change the use of proceeds and whatever things I need to add. And you could have one up and running in 30 days.
Yeah, interesting. I don't see you being a replacement for social media, but I do definitely see it for mainstream.
No, exactly. This is social media. This is complementary. It's not competitive.
I agree.
Okay, so somebody has their kid's Little League game. They post the link on Facebook. Grandma and grandpa sees it and clicks it and watches their grandson play Little League. That's how it works. Yeah. So this is not a competition to social media. It's extremely complimentary.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it, yournews.com. Our guest has been Sam Anthony, and yours truly is a participant on both ends, creator as well as investor. And I'd encourage you to take a really hard look at this because this is the wave of the future. Sam, always good to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Good to see you.
Take care.
Bye.
Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Please help us by sharing what we do far and wide. Also, got a great TV show you should sign up for. The Hip series, wildly popular, and we're putting an interview that I did up there with Doug Hagman on the Who Did It, a debate on the forensic evidence. Doug and I are good friends, but we decided to do counter each other's arguments in a healthy, spirited, yet very friendly debate. And some people don't know, Doug and I are very good friends and will always be very good friends. But yeah, I think you'll enjoy this. It's up there on the commonsenseshow.tv. You'll love seeing it. Hey, we are brought to you by great product, great service, My Digital Money. Crypto and Bitcoin are exploding, and you can expect this explosion to go on for at least 2, possibly 3 years, and maybe even beyond. But the immediate future is bright. Crypto just reached, or actually, as Bitcoin reached an all-time high 2 days ago at 125,000. And that's small compared to where it's going. The government is endorsing it. Trump is the first president to say crypto and Bitcoin are good, Federal Reserve bad. And this is where the smart money is going. You can be part of this revolution too. Go to mydigitalmoney.com. That's mydigitalmoney.com. But we're going to play something for you here. And I think you're going to find this to be very, very revealing. This is President Trump addressing the possibility of invoking the Insurrection Act. So let's listen to what he has to say, and then we'll move on from there. Make sure that we have this on full volume and that our settings are good. And I think our settings will be very good. And here we go.
Over a weekend. Well, I'd do it if it was necessary. So far, it hasn't been necessary, but we have an Insurrection Act for a reason. If I had to enact it, I'd do that. If people were being killed and courts were holding us up, or governors or mayors were holding us up, sure, I'd do that. I mean, I want to make sure that people aren't killed. We have to make sure that our cities are safe.
Yeah. How hard is that to understand? How hard is that to understand, ladies and gentlemen? He wants to make sure our cities are safe. And then you got these wild-eyed liberal reporters playing out a script, trying to challenge him. Oh, it's not necessary. Everything is fine in Chicago. Well, you know, one statistic stands out in my mind. And you know what that statistic is? Labor Day. Labor Day. 64 people shot in Chicago on Labor Day. Yet you got this communist mayor, Brandon Johnson, saying, everything's fine. Now, let me tell you what Johnson's done. The mayor of Chicago, who's got about a 5% approval rating, he issued an executive order yesterday, and he said there are ICE-free zones and ICE can't go into Chicago and we'll arrest them. This is Civil War talk. This is, how far is he willing to go to stop ICE? Is it going to be armed police? Will there be fighting in the streets with our children at our feet? To quote the Who, is it a revolution? It sure sounds that way. If ever there was an action that begged for the Insurrection Act, the Declaration of Martial Law, it's there. But it's also in Portland. We got a judge saying, no harm, no foul. All these people, it's okay. They can commit crimes, no big deal. And Trump is saying, my goal is to keep people safe, and this is what he's going to do. I don't know how you feel about this, but we got grandmothers in Chicago. Some of them are black, and they're wearing MAGA hats because they've been afraid. And finally, there's hope at the end of this violent rainbow from Donald Trump. This is necessary. The Insurrection Act, it's the time has arrived. Inside these cities are like TDA, MS-13. They mean us harm. And Maduro's already said, if you act against me, we're going to target Americans in the United States. We need to get these people out of the country before they can. And I'm talking the TDA, the MS-13, and so forth. Trump's on the right track. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Pray for peace. But if we can't get peace, let's pray for victory.